We've been working through the last number of weeks now, about 10 weeks, I think, our core values and our mission statement as a church. And today is the last day of this particular series. And I'm going to be focusing in really on our mission statement and what it means to choose to live life on mission. To choose to live life on mission is our theme for this morning. Our church mission statement that was here before I came and is still here today has not changed. And it is very simple. It is we want to be used by God to make fully committed disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think that's such a great mission statement. It's so simple, but it is so specific as to what we're here for as a church and as a people. In the book of Mark, chapter 8. I would encourage you to turn with us there if you're at home. Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 34 through 36 this morning, and that will kind of be our main focal point of verses as we talk about choosing to live life on mission. So starting at Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34, it says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?'" As we conclude our series today, I want us to look at what it means to live a life that is on mission for God. If we, meaning those of us that make Fairland their home church, if we purposely live our lives according to the mission statement of our church, I believe that we will be living lives that are on mission for God. And I'm certain that that would be true, doesn't matter what church that you attend, that your mission statement ultimately would lead you to live lives that are on mission for God. So what does it mean to live a life that's on mission with God? We're going to look at that this morning. The first thing that it means is it means being in step with God's plan. Number one, being in step with God's plan. The whole story of the Old Testament is this story of redemption that we see leading up to Christ in the New Testament, who would be our Redeemer. The one to save us all from our sins. The very first chapter of the Old Testament, book of Genesis, it tells this narrative of mankind's turning away from God, and then of God's reaching out to that sinful mankind with love and mercy. Adam and Eve, they sinned, but there was forgiveness through the shedding of blood and a promise of a coming Messiah who would then destroy Satan. God chose a simple shepherd boy named Adam to be the father of a people called Israel, through which this promised Messiah would someday come. In the Old Testament, his promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, God promised that through his descendants, all the earth would be blessed. It was another prophecy of this coming Savior. And then the rest of the Old Testament reports one prophecy after another about this Messiah, this Savior that is going to be coming. Although there are many teachings in the Old Testament, and we could divide them out individually and come up with all kinds of different lessons and themes that we could learn from it. Although there are many different teachings in the Old Testament, I believe that there is one prominent theme above all else, and that is that God had a program. God had a mission to make provision for those in sin to be able to come to God. Well, now, with that background, I feel it's fairly safe to say that the story of the Old Testament was one of redemption, evangelism, of sharing the gospel, of focusing on missional work, on bringing people to God. This is what God was doing. God's eternal plan, God's mission in the world was this. To be on mission with God is to work for, to breathe for, to pray for, to long for, sacrifice for, and live for what is closest to God's heart. Bringing sinners into His grace and His love. Living a life of mission is also includes us being imitators of Jesus. The second thing that we need to know that if we choose to live a life on mission is we need to imitate Jesus. It's in the life of the Son of God, which is Jesus, that we see God carrying out this grand mission. Repeatedly, we're reminded that although Jesus did many things in His time of ministry on earth, just like in the Old Testament, many individual things that we could take out, themes that we could create, and lessons that we could learn. And though Jesus in the New Testament did all kinds of things, ultimately, He had one supreme purpose for coming to earth. To fulfill God's mission on earth. To reconcile sinners to the perfectly holy God. When the angel, and this is going back to the book of Matthew, the very beginning of the book of Matthew, chapter 1. When the angel told Joseph that he was going to be a father and that he should take Mary to be his wife, it was kind of true that we don't see in the very next verses Joseph dreaming about this and coming up with names as to what he's going to call little Peter, little Tom, but rather he was told by the angel to name this child Jesus, which means Savior. You remember what the angel said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? I'm going to guess not because I didn't either. I had to look this up. The angel said this. He said, He shall save His people from their sins. He shall save His people from their sins. His mission was clear even before His birth had taken place. That Joseph and Mary are going to have this child. They're to name this child Jesus, which means He shall save His people from their sins. The mission of Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 29, when John introduced Jesus for the very first time, he didn't say to the people, he didn't say, "Behold, a really great religious teacher that's going to teach us some magic tricks and do magic tricks for us today is here with us." No, he didn't do that. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We even see Jesus Himself on multiple occasions proclaim His purpose for His life. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." To seek and to save the lost. And then in John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." To live on mission for God is to be in harmony with Jesus' ultimate plan. And we do that by helping to promote God's program and Christ's purpose in this earth, who alone was on mission perfectly, 100% of the time. We need to promote that. We need to promote a life that's lived like Christ's. Jesus' life was one given in complete and absolute sacrifice and commitment to the ultimate cause. All the way to the cross of Calvary that we celebrate in the next weeks coming up. To choose to live on mission with God means that we are willing to accept such sacrifice and commitment to help fulfill God's mission on earth to reach everyone with the gospel of Christ. It means sacrificing ourselves, serving instead of being served. It means giving instead of getting, loving the unlovable. It means ministering to the unworthy, what that we think are unworthy. It means laboring hard and long for God. Being involved in ministry is what it means. That's what Jesus was teaching in our text this morning. Let me remind you the text. It said he called the crowd to him along with the disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for somebody to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Following Jesus, choosing to live life on mission with God, sometimes will be about denying ourselves. In this life, it will cost us sometimes to be on mission with God. I hope that you catch that. In this life, it's going to cost us sometimes when we choose to be on mission with God. Salvation, forgiveness, sins, a relationship with God, heaven, these are all free. They don't cost us anything. But following Jesus will cost us something. Not sure what or when it will cost you, but it will. And in that moment, you can choose to join in Jesus' mission, follow his way, be a part of his plan, earn eternal rewards and lay up heavenly treasures and fulfill God's destiny for your life, or you can choose to hold back and to miss what I think is God's very best for your life. Where is Jesus asking you to follow him today that might cost you something? If you're ready to live on mission with God, I challenge you, and I'm going to challenge you now, but I'm going to challenge you at the end of the service again with these exact same things because they're important. I challenge you, if you're willing to live on mission with God, to tie to the church to help us reach the lost right here in Lebanon County, to help us reach the lost that are overseas through our missionaries that we support, to help make it possible for us as a church to support things like the boys orphanage, Love and Grace in Haiti, to be a part of providing for those children's everyday needs that we just take for granted. Your giving allows us to be able to send teams to El Salvador to install water wells. Your giving allows us to be able to open our doors to our community, to those that are homeless, and we can offer them warm shelter in times of need. Giving is a part of living on mission with God. If you're ready to live on mission with God, I challenge you to find a place to serve in the church as a part of the church family, functioning for the good of the whole body so that the church can reach out and stay on mission with God and do the job God has called Fairland to do. If you're ready to live on mission for God, I challenge you to pray daily. To pray daily for your family members, your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, other students in your school, and invite them to church and look for ways to reach out to them with Christ's love and pray for opportunities to share the gospel or your testimony with them. None of these things are easy, and they all involve sacrifice of our own desires. But Jesus says to us today, deny yourself. take up your cross and follow me. Verse 35 of what we've been looking at for our main verse, or main scripture this morning, says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Following Jesus, choosing to lose their soul. I want to just dissect those two verses, verse 35 and 36, just a little bit. In that verse it says, "For whoever wants to save their life," and the word "save" here is typically universally almost understood by biblical scholars, and if you look in concordances, not to refer to saving you from sin or from hell. He's not talking about justification or salvation here. He's talking about saving your life here on earth, making your life count here on earth. And then as we go on in that verse, it says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." And then it goes on in verse 36, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" The word "soul" in that passage often refers throughout Scripture to the invisible, the immaterial, eternal parts of us. But in many places in the Bible, it means one's life. And that's what Jesus means here. Whoever wants to make something of their life, make the most out of their life, will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will make the most of it. What good is it for somebody to gain the whole world yet forfeit their own life? He's not saying the way to heaven is self-denial and cross-bearing. He's saying that a life of self-centeredness and self-interest is to lose your life, to waste it. But to live a life of self-denial, cross-bearing, and Christ-following is to save your life in the sense of finding ultimate purpose and fulfillment in life. The greatest fulfillment in life is to live on mission with God in this earth, on this earth, and to be a part of His plan, and to reach others with the message of God's saving grace and His mercy that He offers to each one of us. Just think, what greater thing could you do with your life than bring the hope of Jesus Christ to a world that needs it so desperately? So to choose to be on mission with God is to be in step with His eternal program, and to be like Christ, to imitate Jesus in sacrificing to fulfill God's eternal program. Living a life that is on mission for God, thirdly, means to move from consumer to server. Move from consumer to server. What do I mean by that? When we first come to know Christ, it's all about what we get. We get grace. We get mercy. We get God's love. We get forgiveness. We get eternity in heaven. We get a relationship with God. We get the Holy Spirit to dwell and guide us. We get hope. We get purpose. We get joy. We get divine purpose. We get. We're consumers, getting all the goods that God has lovingly provided for us. Everybody comes to Christ first as consumers, I think. God draws us to Himself out of a legitimate need that's in our lives so often. We seek out God because our marriages aren't working out. Or we seek out God because we don't have strength to meet life's troubles. Or we seek out God because we feel an emptiness in our lives. Or we seek out God because the accumulation of money and career advancement haven't given us the happiness that we craved. We seek out God because a trial has overtaken us and wrecked our world, and we don't know what to do next or where to go for relief or for guidance. So we seek out God. We seek out God because an addiction has captured us in its net. So we seek out the Lord because He has allowed these things to draw us to Him. It was no different in Jesus' day. His followers first came for fish, for meeting some needs that they needed, for healing, for direction, for peace, for joy, just as we do today. Trusting in Christ for salvation and entering life with Him costs us nothing. They're free. And there's nothing that you can do to earn them. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift from God, not by works." And that's so that nobody can boast, he goes on to say. But as I said in my previous point, following Jesus will cost us something. And one thing it will cost us is that we will have to move. We have to learn how to move from consumer to server. We need to become, in a sense, grace dispensers, love dispensers. But God's ultimate goal to consume less and to serve more should be our priority in life. Servers and grace dispensers and love dispensers help to encourage others. They come up and they fill others up. They lead others to come to faith and follow Jesus Christ. They get involved in serving others so that they too can share in God's goodness and His graciousness. In other words, they've moved from being strictly grace consumers to God's good things and continue to be because we never cease to need God's grace and His good gifts. At some point, we've got to also be a part of helping others come to understand God's goodness and His good gifts that He offers us. Not just getting, but giving. Not just being filled, but helping others be filled. Not just soaking up from others, but becoming the sponge that is squeezed to let God's goodness ooze out of us as an encouragement to others. Question we've got to work with in our own lives is, are we a consumer or are we a server and a dispenser of God's good gifts? If you come to church and sit more than you come and serve, you might be a consumer. If you criticize more than you contribute, you might be a consumer. If you take more than you give, you might be a consumer. If you watch more than you participate, you might be a consumer. Being on mission with God is getting off the bleachers and getting into the game. God has put it in the heart of every true blood-bought believer a desire to go beyond mere receiving from Him to be a servant, helping to build up His kingdom. May God help each of us move from mere grace consumerism to sacrificial grace giving. Our mission statement statement of Fairland, as I said at the beginning, is we desire to be used by God to make fully committed disciples of Jesus Christ. What we have to ask ourselves is, will I choose today to live life according to that mission, which is no different than the mission that we talked about of both God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament? Will we choose to live our life according to those missions? I challenge you to resolve this morning to do just that. And there's three ways that I mentioned earlier, but I'm going to go through them again. That I challenge you to resolve this morning to get involved, to be a person that chooses to live life on mission. And the ways that we can do that is, first of all, get involved in ministry here at Fairland Church or wherever you attend church regularly. Get involved to help reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach more believers how to become true disciples of Christ. I think the time that we're living in right now, it may be, if we look back in history in 20 or 30 years from now, it might be the greatest time in our lifespans to openly share the hope of Jesus Christ with others. People are searching for answers and for hope. So get involved in ministry. Secondly, help to carry the financial burden of the church by faithfully tithing so that we can expand and do more to reach even more people with the gospel and disciple even more people, help people grow in their faith. That all costs money. It all takes energy. It takes people being involved in ministry, but there's a cost that goes along with it. And thirdly, start or continue praying for your family members, for your friends, for your co-workers, for other students in your schools, for your neighbors. Invite them to church. One of the great things, I think, that's taking place right now is the fact that it is probably the easiest time, at least in my lifespan, to be able to invite somebody to go to church and for them not to feel like a fish out of water as they walk in the doors, but instead they're able to turn it on YouTube or Facebook and tune in and understand and get a little glimpse or feel of what church is about. We can witness to people that maybe perhaps we would never have had the opportunity to witness to before. We can share the hope of God with those people. For that, I'm thankful for what we're going through as a society. Because what society sometimes sees as bad, God certainly allows us to use as good. So will you get involved in ministry? Will you help carry the financial load? Will you start or continue to pray for others? Will you choose to get in on what God is up to and live on mission with Him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we do trust that even in the midst of everything that's going on in our world, even in the midst of the realities of what people are facing as a result of what's going on in the world, that you are here, that you are faithful, and that you are walking with us, and that you give us hope and love. We thank you, Lord God, for that. We understand, Lord God, that we are instructed to live lives that are on mission for you, to live lives that clearly represent your love and your grace. So help us, Lord God, in these days especially, to come to our neighbors, to come to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our co-workers, to our friends, with great witnesses. Help us, Lord God, to be able to live life on mission for you. We see so clearly through the Old Testament and the New that living on mission for you means sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with others. Give us boldness, Lord God, to do just that. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.